There was a mighty nation, blessed above all of creation. It was a rare and precious pearl, conceived in faith and liberty, home of the brave, land of the free. It was the envy of the world. But this shining city on a hill has turned from the Creator's will and let evil take control. Now the reckless men who lead them want to strip away their freedom and to steal their very soul. Now it's smoke and mirrors, switching bait, criticize and confiscate, and let the guilty walk away. In this once righteous, godly nation, in the halls of education, they forbid a child to pray. They say we need to spread the wealth. They pretend to guard the health of the feeble and the poor. While the hand they hold behind their back confuses and conceals the fact that the wolf is at the door. There's an unseen hand that pulls a string. It makes his little puppets dance to every song he sings as the night falls in on a rising tide. Look beyond the shadows, behold a pale horse ride.
Welcome back, my friends. Welcome back. This is Eric, the Freedom Screamer. You're listening to Resurrect the Republic on the Republic Broadcasting Network. I urge you to record this show tonight so you can share it with people you know and have a record of it in case the archives are ever hard to find or deleted. Make hard copies of everything. I like printing stuff out now. Yeah, ink, there's a little bit of a cost for ink, but it's better to have paper and discs and, you know, SIM cards or whatever you're using, some kind of piece of hard material that you can store and save things on, such as this broadcast. You're not going to hear this anywhere else. And wait till you hear what we got coming up about vaccines. We're going to try to get to that later in this hour. We're talking with Tom in Utah. We're talking with Gary in Michigan. Daniel Leach is simultaneously broadcasting out to his following as well. And we welcome Daniel and all his people over at Studio1776.org and Single Parents Helping Single Parents. So what a great cause that is. I believe Daniel's up to over 30,000 members over there. And so just wanted to say hi to everybody at Single Parents Helping Single Parents. We appreciate what you're doing. These are all, Daniel and I don't get paid for any of this. This is all pure activism. So support your activists, people. If you enjoy what you're hearing and the information you get, please support your activists. You can do that by going to a number of websites. You can go to courtroomwatch.com. You can go to resurrectherepublic.com. Help Tom, help Eric, help Daniel. If you fund this, we can only get better. So we appreciate the people who have sponsored and helped out and everybody who supports this show. So thank you to all of you. You know who you are. We're going to get back to Tom right now. We're talking about the gassing of America, or in website terms, gassingamerica.com or gassingamerica.org. And it's no accident that the four big companies that make the manufactured homes with the poisonous gas being vented out 3 feet from the intake for the fresh air, which means the poison gas is going right back into the home through the heating and air conditioning system, that those four big players would be Warren Buffett, the Carlyle Group, which is a Bush Bin Laden consortium of many other players as well. And, okay, what was the other one? Halliburton, our old friend Halliburton, and just to name a few. So anyway, back to you, Tom. I thought that was, so what's the solution? Okay, so we see where the corruption is. We see it's not by accident. They're intentionally, these chemicals are being emitted in large quantities. This is a total setup, not only the chemicals, but the carbon monoxide reventing. It's obviously being done by design. They don't have to put who would be stupid enough to put their sewage venting and their carbon monoxide venting a couple of feet from where the clean air is blasting in, with the suction of the intake. That's bringing air from, it's going right in. There's just no denying it. And it was only by design. That's not by accident, these major players. And when you see what they've done, once again, it's a bunch of people who have made comments that they want fewer people on the planet. We're dealing with the highest level with population reductionists. They want less people, and they've said it. I gave a few names before. There's been all kinds of top names in the world, from political to the royal families to entertainment to media. And Turner said there's too many people on the planet. Once again, he can go first. But anyway, I wanted to wrap up the Hegelian dialectic because I only gave the part of it before the break. But the Hegelian dialectic is when the government creates a problem and then rides in with the solution and acts like the savior. And that's why they're always trying to play in both sides of this whole war on terror and the international conquest called the military-industrial complex that President Eisenhower did warn us about, did he not? So, Tom, with that, I'm going to go back to you. Continue on with the gassing America. And at your discretion, you know, shift gears over into the vaccine issue.
Well, I'm so glad that the single parent group is listening because there is an inordinate number of single parents because of their economic challenges that are living in the manufactured mobile homes as their shelters, their homes, because it's in many communities, it's the least expensive housing you can find. And by the way, the cases that drew me into this include, as you can see, a family living in that. But some that are not on there are the mothers, the single moms that had turned to me when they were being accused of abuse and neglect. And by the way, the primary victims in these manufactured or mobile home units are the babies. That's because you keep them inside 24/7, especially when it's cold like it is right now. And that's why I've been really desperate to get this information out now while that Arctic Clipper is coming down over, you know, everybody in the Northeast, but we've been dealing with it all winter. And by the way, after these several weeks or months of brutal cold, generally the babies die. There's a lot of SIDS deaths, or deaths of infants or toddlers that are written off as SIDS, a lot of deaths of even elderly, you know, written off as heart disease or some other cause, but in real fact, it is this. But the problem with when you have an infant die in a home, especially if you're a single parent or a struggling family, ECFS, the great blessing of Hillary Clinton, steps into your life, accuses you of neglect or abuse or negligent homicide, and then they destroy the entire family. And, of course, that's what really provoked me in this whole thing, is to see the opportunity taken by corrupt medicine, corrupt government, and the corrupt courts to literally ruin children, parents, and families altogether. And in each of the cases I've been drawn into, except for one in Illinois that I could not prevail in, because it was under the tutelage, if you want to call it, Senator Barack Obama. Every other case I've been involved with, I've been able to restore that family because I would bring forth irrefutable physical evidence of the cause of these families' malaise or loss of life. So I'm really pleased that you single parents are listening to this because there are so many across the United States. Like I say, because of their economic challenge, being a single parent family, that end up living in manufactured or mobile homes. By the way, manufactured means it may not be a trailer, but it is a manufactured unit put on a foundation, and there are millions of them. But all of them, just every single one of them, especially those heated with the propane or natural gas, this is an issue. By the way, if you're electrically heated, you won't have the carbon monoxide issue, but you'll have the sewer gas problem. That's just as, insidious over the course of time if you're breathing those gases. Anyway, so please look at my website and understand this. But by the way, you don't have to live in a manufactured or mobile home to be a victim of this. You can be like Eric himself, living not a manufactured mobile home under the control of HUD, but if you're living in a camp trailer, you know, a fifth wheeler, whatever, mm-hmm. You can also be poisoned by the combustion of your cooktop and your your oven inside that's not being vented outside. That's a whole issue that impacts millions more. As I was explaining, Eric, if you're running your cooktop in this little box that you're living in, that those combustion fumes of your cooktop, your gas range, your gas oven build up in that space you're in, and you'll be breathing fumes as deadly as those that are living in that mobile or manufactured home that's deliberately venting inside. By the way, if you're living in a manufactured or mobile home, you're generally cooking the same way that Eric and a lot of us, preppers do. You know, we get out in a little camp trailer. And unless you have a way to vent that cooking fumes or the vapors off your cooktop, they're collecting inside that unit and affecting you.
Well, fortunately, and, my stove is, it is gas. It runs on propane, but there's a really powerful fan right on top of it that can suck everything out, so that does not build up in here, and it's not running very much anyway. My heating propane situation is side vented, so that's a big huge. Unless one of the nearby windows is open, none of that's going to be able to come back in. So that's pretty. It's pretty good so far. I think my mind's okay. And if I start losing it, people just call in and let me know.
Yeah, tell him to turn off his stove. but by the way, the first case that in family versus state was a family whose baby died. And then the mother was pregnant and gave birth to another one the following year. And that baby nearly died. It was taken away by the state. They came to me just out of the inspiration of the Spirit. You know, God is alive and well. But they came to me. They did not know that I worked in pediatric pathology. And in the first efforts to try to help them, I was defending their diet. See, they had become vegetarians or vegans. You know, I know that's, I'm going to probably lose half the audience right there. But their father, who is a professional musician, had come to me because of his arthritis problem, so I encouraged him to go vegetarian. His daughter and son-in-law saw the benefits of that, and so they took their family into that kind of lifestyle. They bought a new home, an older home, a new home for them, older home, and they modified it to tighten up the windows and doors. They did not know that somebody had installed the furnace improperly, bending it out the side, just like yours is, Eric. And 11 inches away was this old-style combustion air intake, which brought the fumes of their furnace right back in their house.
Uh-oh.
And after they tightened up the house, their last or youngest child died. And the family was dragged into court, being blamed for causing that baby's death because the parents were vegan or vegetarian. Absolute insanity. You know, I taught the film industry. The trade secret of the film industry is to be vegetarian or vegan. But if you're a vegan or vegetarian, Child Protective Services puts a target on your back. If you refuse vaccines, if you refuse medicine generally, or if you homeschool your children, you're prime targets of DCFS. Thank you, Hillary Clinton. So anyway, even if you're in a regular home,
let's clarify something for the record. When our guest Tom used the term "Wicked Witch of the East" previously, I did pretty well much assume that he was talking about Kim Jong Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, most people do not know this, but she is the. Well, let's see. What was her famous words? It takes a village to raise a child.
Yep, and she was also. She's also one that said, order out of chaos. I don't know. I forget how she put it. It was, we can't let a good crisis go to waste. And it's almost identical to what Rahm Emanuel said. So, you know, once again, back to the Hegelian dialectic. Tom, let's do this.
I want to give
a couple solutions to people for this carbon monoxide nightmare. And then we're going to shift gears over into the vaccine thing, because that might take, we got 45 minutes left. I think it might take all of that. And that is as fascinating, if not more, than what Tom just brought us. about the whole toxic chemical situation and how that's affecting people's health, and including to the point of fatalities, especially in young people, because didn't you say, Tom, the tolerance for an infant or a toddler was far lower?
Far lower than for an adult.
Right.
OSHA allows an adult to be exposed to 50 parts per million for no more than 6 hours. But the American Congress of Governmental Industrial Hygienists, which is now an arm of the CDC, who, by the way, like I told you, Eric, I pulled off a miracle. I got the women in the CDC to come to my side and validate my findings. At the same time, they indicated to me that they tried to set the standards of exposure for pregnant women and for infants or toddlers at no more than 10 to 15 parts per million. So they wanted to at least to set the minimum exposure for women and children at 25. But they know that at 5 parts per million, already a fetus in utero is being injured. So there's a lot of spontaneous abortion. So I call these manufactured mobile homes abortion clinics on wheels. The sad thing is, you don't know that it's an abortion clinic, and you wonder why your baby failed, or why you couldn't even conceive. You know, so if you want to limit the population, begin with conception. How's that one for a winner? Hillary program?
The enemy.
But anyway, just one point I want to make on all of this.
Sure.
Even though I'm describing the problem with the people in the manufactured mobile homes, because medicine has been hijacked and manipulated to cover this poisoning issue up, everyone is at risk. If you come in like this family, the original family, from their regular stick-built home, and your baby's died already of carbon monoxide, you'll be accused of abuse and neglect or negligent homicide, because the medical people never tested the bloodstream of that dead child, nor the family, for the presence of carbon monoxide. Are you ready for this? Even though a carbon monoxide alarm sounded in their home while the coroner was there picking up the dead body.
Oh, you got to be kidding. I mean, that's just raw lying and corruption. I mean, that's as bad as it gets.
And see, 2 months later, this family was being drawn into the court, accused of negligent homicide. And when I got into their case and I was finally able to see the records and see the police report that the carbon monoxide alarm had sounded, and of course, here's the real lunacy that puts everybody at risk. When you call the fire department, even should your carbon monoxide alarm sound, they will tell you, open your doors and windows and wait at the neighbors. When they get to your home after you've opened the doors and windows, what are they going to find? Your house will be vented out. They will say, it's probably a battery problem. And they'll say, your house is safe. Go back in. I have multiple cases where they've told the family their house was safe. They went back in, and their children died after the fact.
Oh. And these are cases
that was
actually...
all.
Yep.
That was all engineered by the National Fire Prevention Association in Washington, D.C. Isn't that a nice name? Sounds like a wonderful agency of integrity, right? Yet they are the ones who actually sponsor the what's called Manufactured Housing Consensus Committee and the Manufactured Housing Safety Committee that allows this 3-foot corruption of the code to occur. So when you're in your regular home, like Robin, who's a listener, she called me after you'd had me on the other day, come to find out she lives in a conventional home, and she was being poisoned, yet nobody in the medical community ever told her that she had elevated levels of carbon monoxide in her blood. That is deliberate. So you cannot trust your doctor, you cannot trust your fire chief, or you cannot trust the first responders. They've been manipulated to deliberately avoid detecting that problem.
Yeah,
so please, everybody,
we're not people who hate the cops or people who hate the. But look, listen to what Tom's telling you. There's this, when the system is corrupted, there is no room for good people at the bottom and lower levels to serve it. You can't claim good guy status or good girl status if you're serving an evil master and an evil system, and a system that's this corrupted, where the chief of the fire department and the head of the U.S. Department of this or that, the Fire Safety Commission and the HUD or whatever, those people are going to orchestrate the protection of the lower level people who serve that evil system. But you still can't let the lower people off the hook and say this is okay to do, because they have to know what they're doing. I don't see how any of the fire guys don't know this. I mean, if this is going on at the local level, because this is not some international code that some Congress made up. This is a local court case where people were being falsely accused. When the police report itself said that the carbon monoxide detector was going off, and then the coroner doesn't test the bloodstream for carbon monoxide. Well, nice coroner.
That's right.
Cripes almighty. Whoa.
And that was not even presented in the court when they were accusing the young couple of negligent homicide.
Oh, God, it doesn't surprise me. The witch's court said, I'm sorry, that's not going to be admissible. We wouldn't have been able to, we don't want to give the innocent any chance to walk away free. Oh, what a cluster. Disgusting.
You know how I prevailed in that case when the court would not even accept my evidence? I got on an airplane, went to Hollywood, and I talked to my friends at Fox Television, Indy, Los Angeles, to CBS and everybody, and my group of friends after I'd gone to a presentation in behalf of Paul McCartney. And it took my convincing. And this couple of reporters came out from Los Angeles, went to Salt Lake because the local media would not touch it.
Oh.
But Fox National out of Los Angeles, they put the story out. And in a couple of days, the vicar's handmaiden called the family into the court because everybody in the community now knew the truth. And she was forced to restore that family's child, the surviving child, back to them. She did dismiss the case without prejudice, so that's not really a nice way to do it, but she gave the baby back because all of her friends in her church around this judge were looking at her askance when they knew that the original baby had died and the second baby was near death because of not the family's negligence, but the state's. Because I'm going to tell you a little secret. That family had a furnace in their house that had been put in improperly by somebody before. When they bought the house, of course, it went through inspection. It passed inspection. It passed inspection by the gas provider. They green tagged that furnace, said it was safe. And the real estate inspector for Coldwell Banker had passed the house. And even the city inspector had passed it. So nobody wanted to touch that, and when Fox Local here played the story, then everybody knew it was the state, it was the real estate inspector, it was
the city inspector,
the gas company that had actually murdered that child, and nearly murdered the second one, and would have killed the whole family. And by the way, if the state takes one child and blame you for the injury or death of that one child, what happens to the other children in the family?
Oh, they take them. Oh, they take them all. They take everything. Oh, bye-bye. They'll take everything they can get. The witch's court is merciless. It's disgusting, and they know exactly what's going on. They really do, especially at the upper levels and the higher judges. And they know the inspectors are looking the other way. They know nobody's going to sue Carlyle Group and Halliburton. And who was the other one? Warren Buffett with his home manufacturing company. I mean, please, they know. And boy, what a good, if you're evil, I guess it's, you could say, what a great way to keep people broke and sick and getting dragged into the witch's court. Where don't forget, every case is bonded They earn interest on the bond for that case. They'll pay, so pays them a lot of money to bring in more cases, the better, right? If you're the witch's court, they don't give a crap if you're innocent, guilty, or whatever. They're making a ton of money on it. Plus, their pension fund is invested heavily in the private prison industry. Tell me that's not a conflict of interest to have judges and police's pension funds invested in private prison building. I mean, round them up and stick everybody in private prisons. And that's why I would encourage people to watch. Have you heard about the Kids for Cash situation in Pennsylvania where two judges, Michael Conahan and Mark Civarella, are doing, I don't know, one of them's doing 30 years, I think, for these are two judges. These are two court witches in Pennsylvania. And they took $1.25 million in payoffs from a private prison to incarcerate as many young children as possible. They locked up one girl for having a fight on Facebook and gave her like 3 years in this kid's prison. One other kid hit a kid in the head with the volleyball and they gave him like 5 years. One, two other boys had a fight in class. One of them got 2 or 3 or 4 years in this hardcore kid's prison. And, oh, by the way, guess who the guy who built the prison was? And I got this from the reporter directly down there who broke the story and did all the research. Very credible. Lou Jasikoff. And this son, the guy who built the 1,350-bed private prison for children just happened to be the son of the chief justice, the chief judge, the chief court witch of the Pennsylvania State Supreme Court. And every CPA and every attorney in town and every cop, especially the higher-level barracks commanders at the state and all the detectives, they know what's going on. They are in the know. And a lot of them know it and don't like it, but they're still serving it. And I don't know what they're doing in there trying to claim that it's okay for them to be supporting this evil, evil system. Now, did you hear what Tom has told you, listeners? The Coldwell Banker inspector, the state inspector, the city inspector, the gas company inspector all signed off on that. They knew it, that home was toxic, and the witch's court doesn't mind because bring it in, take the kids. Oh, guess where the kids go? I'll tell you, in Schoharie County, New York, I watched Judge George Bartlett appoint, take a kid through CPS. Mother did absolutely nothing. There was no abuse. And she didn't file some paperwork in time or something, and the violation was the final, and it was all paperwork stuff. And they took her kid, and it was going to go. The kid was going to the to be examined, and they used the word "examined" in the court paper, in the court order, by Catholic Charities. Go online, and there he was, the Vicar General. I believe it was David Berberian from Albany, or one of the other ones in that area, Schoharie County. I think that fell under Albany Diocese. And there it was, the Vicar General using the witch's court to take people's kids. And so anyway, it's very insidious what's going on. I'm glad you brought that up. And it's Tom's solution, courtroom observers, involve the women. The mothers are very protective of their baby. They know, and women, once they really accept the truth, can be the best freedom fighters there are. And God bless all the women in the Patriot movement. And with that, we're going to be coming to a break here soon. On the other side of this break coming up, we are going to talk about vaccines. And this was the most fascinating. This is what really got me the final straw, where I had to get Tom to come on and pretty much beg him to come on and talk about this. A little reluctant, but we're good. Pardon me, Mike.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
End time is not what you thought. In their new book, 12/24/36, authors Mike and Cheryl Gilmore bring forth a startling new idea on the beginning of humankind, how life begins on Earth, and when our Creator concludes this age. In the book, 12/24/36, three small groups of individuals, separated by thousands of miles, discover together the answers to the beginning of our universe and all the life it contains. Mike Gilmore is the author of 5 Levels of Power novels and the SLED Investigation series. Cheryl Gilmore is current state director in South Carolina for MUFON and brings a lifetime of experience with UFOs and related fields. As a team, their new book about life in the near future on Earth sets aside most people's religious and scientific beliefs. Available exclusively on Amazon in softback for $8.99 or the ebook price for only $2.99. Remember, Amazon softback $8.99, ebook only $2.99. 12/24/36. Get your copy today.
I was introduced to this remarkable product, Balance of Nature Fruits and Veggies, and to say it's amazing is an understatement. Balance of Nature provides the nutrients of 9 to 11 servings of 31 different whole ripened fruits and veggies per day, and the cost to the consumer for 9 to 11 servings is about 22 cents per serving, as opposed to over a dollar in the store. Balance of Nature Fruits and Veggies helps boost the immune system by over 720%, and they also provide a health coach for you at no charge to guide you with any questions you may have. And you can also visit their website for testimonials on balanceofnature.com. So take steps to give yourself better overall health and call them now, toll free at 800-246-8751. That's 800-246-8751 or go to balanceofnature.com right now. Make sure to let them know you heard it here by using promo code TALK for a special discount. That's balanceofnature.com and use promo code TALK.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Back, friends. Welcome back to Resurrect the Republic. Thank you for joining us. Our final stretch here. This is Eric the Freedom Screamer. I'm joined by Gary in Michigan. Daniel Leach is simulcasting out to his following at Single Parents, Helping Single Parents, Studio 1776. And we appreciate him taking interest in this broadcast. Their information was so powerful tonight. It's good that we share it with as many people as possible. And, of course, Tom in Utah is with us. I wanted to propose a quick solution. If I'm way off base, correct me, Tom, but just on a solution to the carbon monoxide issue and the 3-foot venting problem where the carbon monoxide is getting sucked right back into the intake. I would suggest to people take an inexpensive fix would be you could put an extender pipe on one of them and not the other to raise one much higher, and that might help a lot. So they're not at the same altitude, so to speak, at the same level. Okay, so one shorty and one longy. And or you could put a 45, you could take like a muffler pipe or something just like that. I mean, a little bigger, but a truck for a giant, for a large truck, you could use a piece of muffler pipe, you could go buy one. But a 45 would be a pipe that comes up and bends on a 45 degree angle. And you could point one 45 one way and one the other. That could give you a couple extra feet of separation that might be crucial, so they're not once again right there next to each other. Or put up a 4x8 sheet of plywood in between them and just screw it in with some L brackets into the roof and caulk up the screw heads so they don't leak. And you could just put almost a little wall in between the two pipes if you had to. would be better than sucking in the carbon monoxide. So there's a couple of solutions. As a guy who's done a little contracting and construction work, that would be the first thing to come to mind for a cheap fix. One extended or a couple of 45s, spreading them apart farther, or just a simple barrier in between the two, it would help a lot. It might cut your toxicity intake down by, I would think, as much as, 50 to 80% or more. So that's a good start. And with that, Tom, I want to get right over to the vaccine deal because that was fascinating. Tell us kind of what is the problem with the vaccines in your eyes and what it is and what it isn't. You can start off with what it is not, because I think what most people think, it's the mercury, it's the squalene, it's the formaldehyde, it's the propylene glycol. It's all the adjuvants that go into the vaccines. But what is it really, Tom?
Okay, let me back up for just one second here on this remedy. The easiest and simplest remedy right now, especially for those people dealing with that brutal weather, is close off that intake. If
just
you can get up
it.
On
okay,
the roof.
I was going to suggest that because it's not essential, but I wasn't sure if some units have to have that intake or if not all of them do. You tell us, Tom.
No, what that is breathing air. And what did we do in the old days before they had that system in?
Yeah,
we opened the window.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, sorry to use that. Yeah, open the window, folks. Let a little bit of fresh air in. It's not going to kill the deal. Your temperature is going to go down 1 or 2 degrees. Then you're going to close the window, seal it right back up, and you do that a couple of times a day. That's going to help enormously. Once again, exchange the air in the house. Just open the front door, let all the hot air out, cold air in. You know, it's going to, it might cost you a couple of pennies, but, I mean, if you don't leave it open all day, as long as the heater's not chugging all day, exchange that air in your house. But, I would say at the same time, still trying to put some extender pipes on there might be a good idea as well.
Well, Eric, let me give you a clue. Extending it always doesn't always do it because you get toxic air as it's heated, it goes up. But then once it's lost its thermal energy, it falls back down. It'll fall back down into that same 3-foot distance.
Yeah, okay.
So the only real remedy is to put an elbow on the breathing air intake, run a pipe laterally along the roof 10 feet out, put another elbow and a cap on that end so the snow and rain doesn't go in it. But for now, you just simply, if you can get up on the roof, you might be able to put a garbage bag on that, tie it around with a string, keep it air from coming in. But if you can access the top of your furnace, get in there with a screwdriver, disconnect that duct. Disconnect that duct and don't allow any air to be siphoned through that blend air. It's all on the website.
Okay, so you're saying you can either cover it. Okay, great. So either cover it at the top, cover the intake, not the out gas, but the intake, because that's not essential. Right. Once again, like Tom said, open the window and let the fresh air shine in once in a while. It's a lot better than breathing carbon monoxide.
I described that all on the website.
But a lot of our listeners are not online. They're living off the grid. They're listening over the phone. They may not have a computer. So anyway, I want to try to paint the picture as well as I can for those of us, those of our listeners who may not be, on the computer, be able to get on a computer. So, but anyway,
well, Eric. All they have to do is open up pull that panel open on their furnace. Generally, it's Coleman or Thermodyne. But in the top left-hand corner of that chamber where the squirrel cage blower is, they'll see that intake. And if they can get on top of that, they can disconnect the duct, put a plastic cottage cheese cup over the top of it, or duct tape it, whatever, and then just stick a rag in that flexible duct that ties into it or a hard duct that ties into it.
Yep.
And that way they will not be breathing air sucked in from that 3-foot distance up above.
And for another
you know, and the other thing I just have to tell you, right, tell everybody right now, if you have a carbon monoxide alarm, they're a joke. The same industry that put this thing in place also controls the safety industry. And so when you buy a carbon monoxide alarm, it's nothing more than a false sense of security. And in fact, it can literally be the cause of your death. And until you
on the alarm. And I'd like to just let people know we got a little background noise coming in. So either Daniel Leach or I don't know if it's Mike on the board, but who could everybody who's not talking at the present time, could you put yourself on mute and then come on in and unmute yourself when you want to chime in and make a question or a comment. So that way, but if it's Tom, if the background noise is coming from you, we understand and it's no problem. So we'll deal with that. And so let's shift into the vaccine.
We only got with me.
Oh, yes. Do you want to, why don't we shift gears into the vaccination situation and give people, if we got to take some time to pick it up tomorrow, we can always do that. But in the next, over the next 20 minutes, I think you can probably give a pretty complete explanation, kind of what you told me earlier today and what you believe the situation is with the vaccine. So, but once again, people, on the carbon monoxide, you can cover the top pipe or disconnect it at where it meets the furnace. For the air intake, and that will prevent the intake of carbon monoxide into your manufacturer at home. So with that, Tom, tell us about the vaccines and how you were involved and what you saw and then what your concerns are about what's really the pathogens in the vaccines.
Okay, can you hear me?
Just fine, Tom.
Hello?
Yep, you're good. So go ahead.
Okay, every vaccine is designed to, quote, protect you, and I say quote, that's what you're told, against a bacteria or virus. Now, I know this will be a shock to everybody, but there's no way to obtain a disease-causing bacteria or virus from out of the plant kingdom. Every single disease-causing virus or bacteria or parasite comes from the animal kingdom. You're an animal, just like the cow, chicken, and pig, and the fish. And the organisms that are maintained in the livestock, in the fauna, you know, that's the wild animals or your pets, they're the same organisms that cause disease in you. So whenever we produce a vaccine, we are attempting to protect you from an animal pathogen. And those animal pathogens cannot survive unless they're inside an animal. Did you know that? They don't survive out on the sidewalk or on a toilet seat or on a doorknob, because every pathogen that I ever cultured in my lab dies within minutes of exposure to the elements outside of the protection of an animal. Either you, your dog or cat, fish, pig, whatever. You know, and that, and John Stedman was a little disenchanted with me when I explained that his respiratory illness could not come from a jet 30,000 feet above the earth. Now, indeed, they can aerosol metals and inorganics into the atmosphere to manage their weather as they want to do, whatever they want to do. But I worked for a while at White Sands, the biological warfare unit. And among my fellows and I, we know there's no way in hell we can give you a pathogen from a nozzle at 30,000 feet. The only way we can get a pathogen to you is somehow from 3 feet. Now, what's 3 feet from your nose when you extend it out? The tip of your finger. So if I'm going to poison you, and I don't want to poison myself, you know, if I want to poison myself, I will poison you from 30,000 feet. But if I want to poison you, I'm going to do it 3 feet, just like in the trailers. But the most appropriate way to poison a group of people that you want to get rid of is to make them party to their own poisoning, and we keep them ignorant. That's the primary tool. Keep you ignorant so you do not know that that respiratory illness or that disease came to you 3 feet from your mouth, but you moved it to your mouth on the end of a fork or a spoon. So the vaccines, are you ready for this? They are given to you so that you will not be sickened by that infectious piece of meat or glass of milk or piece of cheese or whatever animal tissue you're consuming. You'll not be sickened right away and die. Because if that happens, we know it's what you ate eminently, you know, immediately. So vaccines are designed to stimulate your body to produce antibodies against the bacteria and viruses that you're going to put in your body from your spoon. You think anybody wants you to know that? You there with me, Eric, or am I dead?
No, I'm here. I'm listening very intently. Keep going.
So I'm going to tell you straight out, like Barbara Lowe Fisher had me come out to Washington to her group two decades ago. You know who she is, the National Vaccine Information Center. And just like everyone else, once they hear this, they really run away from it scared because it affects so many industries, including the livestock industry, as well as the pharmaceutical complex, the medical complex, and you name it. The most profitable industry in the world is medicine, isn't it? The pharmaceutical complex is part of it. And if I convince you to no longer wrap your lips around an infectious food, I no longer have the opportunity to treat you for that infection with my medicine or simply to predispose you to a less violent reaction by giving you a vaccine. But the problem is, when I give you a vaccine, I set you up for other problems, most of the time not eminently evident, but down the road. And as I kind of shocked you, Eric, the important component of a vaccine, aside from the problems from mercury and all these other, most important component that sets up the medical industry with an opportunity is the animal tissues that are required to culture the bacterium or virus that is the target organism we're injecting into your arm. Now, here's a problem. When you eat meat, drink milk, or consume any animal product, you're protected within reason by your liver and your digestive system. But when we take that same material from the animal and we put it in a blender and culture organisms in it, then we put that same compound along with its preservatives, these other things you've referred to, we inject that into your arm, you're receiving effectively a transplant. So we inject into your arm the scrambled tissues of the animal, which includes the bacteria or virus we're trying to prepare your body to be immune to. But as we do that, we're putting in this tissue from the animal, which contains, in all likelihood, all of the protein structures and the fat structures of the animal. And so we trigger your immune system, and it builds antibodies against those recognized proteins and fats. And so now we stimulate the production of a battalion of antibodies that are designed to destroy that foreign material, like a heart that's transplanted, unless we suppress your immune system. So now we've set you up not just only for potential of autism in certain individuals, but every individual, we've set you up for the latent occurrence of autoimmune diseases. Let's take them. The most important one that I was talking to Eric about was diabetes type 1. And the primary precipitator of diabetes type 1 is the DPT vaccine. Why the DPT? Because diphtheria, pertussis, and tetanus are large bacterium. So the filtering process that we run this medium through is not small enough to prevent you from being also contaminated with the tissues on which we grew those organisms, which may, in almost every case, will include the beta cells of that animal's liver, or not liver, but his pancreas, which produces insulin. So these beta cells, we inject them into your body. Your body builds up antibodies to destroy those foreign beta cells. But in the process,
destroys the beta
cells. Are prepared to destroy your own.
Right. Oh, my gosh. It destroys the beta cells of the host along with the foreign material that was injected through the blended concoction called vaccines that include animal tissue. And that's where the that's where the problem is. It's the animal tissue as well as the mercury and everything else. But that's the insidious part. Because like you said, it brings on a number of autoimmune diseases. Name a few more.
Lupus, MS, cystic fibrosis, muscular dystrophy, you name it. You name it. Every tissue of your body may be presented to you from the animal source and cause your immune system to be set up to attack your own tissues. By the way, lupus is a curious one. Lupus is a collagen disease. That means where your immune system is attacking the lupus, the collagen of your body. That's your tendons, your connective tissue. That's your vascular tissue. That's your skin. That's the cement between the calcium sulfate bricks of your bones. Uh-huh. See, calcium sulfate is a dead material, but the collagen, it's the mortar between the bricks in your bones, is a living tissue. When you have autoimmune reaction to collagen, the worst form being expressed is lupus, your immune system is literally stripping your bones apart, stripping the connective tissue of your body apart, and you just literally are falling apart. It's a very painful experience. Now, your body is at the same time trying to restore itself, but as long as you suck down, after you once had that experience with the vaccine, now you're vulnerable for the mistakes that you make in your diet. This is the part nobody wants to hear.
Which compounds the problem enormously.
Once you've been sensitized by the production of antibodies against your collagen, I'll use that as the prime example. I'll do it again with the diabetes. But once you've been sensitized and you have this battalion of antibodies specifically designed to destroy foreign collagen, then the next time you eat an egg, your liver may have what's called shunting or bypass, and some of that egg white, which is pure collagen, will get into your bloodstream, and your spleen will then release all of the antibodies produced in the initial vaccine experience, and it will begin once again to attack your connective tissues.
Wow.
The same example with diabetes type 1. When you got that vaccine, the DPT vaccine, and your body was now predisposed to produce antibodies against the beta cells of your pancreas, then the next time you have a glass of milk or a piece of cheese, which is high in the levels of insulin from the cow, the insulin is always accompanied by the sloughing cells of that cow, the beta cells. When you're drinking that milk, they get through your liver with what's called shunting or bypass, a failure in your liver, generally caused by other toxins. And now you have these beta cells from the cow back into your bloodstream, and your spleen releases all the beta cell antibodies, and it does another attack on your insulin-producing cells.
Wow.
So you have perpetual diabetes. Now, that's type 1. Type 2, on the other hand, you can reverse. Just change your damn diet.
Good advice. But in the case of the vaccines, they're setting the cascading series of events that comes from the body attacking itself, attacking its own friendly cells along with the foreign cells from the animal that's going along as part of the vaccine cocktail. Well, it was like the analogy you used to, like you said, it'd be like a SWAT team coming into a room with a blindfold on. That's how your body treats it. It wipes out all of the beta cells instead of just the bad ones. And where every time you reintroduce that animal pathogen, it stimulates a revival of that antibody assault against the friendly cells of your human body as well as the invading cells. Is that right?
That's correct.
Okay.
See, so nobody wants you to know that, because if you know that, when you go into the clinic and you've now been diagnosed with late onset lupus, the doctor says, oh, you have an autoimmune disease. There is no cure for that. Well, sure, there's no cure because he doesn't tell you how to stop that reactivation of those antibodies. He's
right.
not going to tell you, well, stop eating egg white, stop eating animal that's got tendon in it. He's going to say, all I can do is suppress your immune system with this drug, and you'll just die with this damn disease. See, and that makes you a perpetual client. But if he'd have said to you the truth, which he doesn't know because we don't allow the doctors to know either, he'd have said, hey, you know what? You were set up for this lupus by that vaccine that you got when you were a child, the vaccine you got when you went into the Army. And the way to prevent this disease from getting worse or continuing is to stop re-triggering those antibodies.
Is there any way to prevent the re-triggering without giving up consuming any animal products? Because if it goes through your liver, does it have a chance to filter, or is it just that stimulation every time you introduce that into your diet?
So, well, since you're Roundup ready already, you understand what I'm saying?
Yep.
You've been poisoned by the other toxins in the environment, so your liver's damaged. I will tell you that every liver in the United States is damaged. Why? Because we've got all these toxins in the environment, especially the Roundup Ready problem with the glyphosate, right?
Mm-hmm.
So now everybody's livers has been weakened, and its efficiency in breaking down the animal proteins, which by the design of God in the beginning was to be very little, but now your liver is so damaged it cannot defend you, you know, from an incursion of a animal protein or animal fat. So now even grass-fed beef or organic chicken or organic dairy is no guarantee that your liver will, or your trigger, I mean your spleen will not release those antibodies created with the vaccines or some event that set you up for that in the first place.
Okay.
So this is my recommendation. Paul McCartney found out about me through a movie star that retired down in Phoenix. You know, he owns a ranch down there. And Linda McCartney had died with breast cancer, and I'd actually done a lecture on female cancers. Sounds like we got music.
I wanted to keep going with this. Why don't we pick this up tomorrow night if you're available, and the rest of the crew can join us as well. Why don't we just be the same time, same channel tomorrow? This is Eric the Freedom Screamer. Fascinating conversation tonight. Take this show and post it in as many places as possible, people. Post the link, post the show, record it, pass it around town. Valuable information on many fronts. Thanks to Gary in Michigan. Thanks to Daniel Leach. Thanks to Tom in Utah. We'll see you all tomorrow. We'll try to pick up where we left off so long as everybody's available. This is Eric the Freedom Screamer, sitting in for Tom and Lori on the Resurrect Republic. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network.
I'm not interested in photo ops.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get To. That's ICANGET, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. because you can handle the truth.